Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
4 seconds left in overtime. Good operation. 46. The kick. Wins the game. Butter, 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 butter. Extra butter. Cowboys win in overtime. 40-37.
Thank you to Cowboys Radio. That was an adventure. Man, what a weapon Brandon Aubrey is. 64-yarder as time expires in regulation to send it to overtime. And then you just heard the 46-yard game winner. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you missed late last night, Falcons win over Minnesota. Maybe we'll get to that game later. But let's start with the Cowboys, Perl, a team that looks like they are going to either play up or down to whatever competition they face.
Yeah.
Week one, they hung in with your Eagles until there was a weird weather delay. Week two against a Giants team that we believe is going to be, you know, pretty mediocre this year. They allowed Russell Wilson to have a day, almost 500 yards of offense. That Cowboys pass rush still non-existent since the Micah Parsons trade, but they win the game.
Well, so the Giants scored 6 points week one against Washington, scored 37 today. I think it's utter panic time about that defense. And by the way, the Eagles, before the rain delay, scored at will on that Cowboys
that
defense. Whose defense is probably the most impressive this season so far?
Packers.
Yeah. Who do they have?
They got Michael Parsons, bro.
Who is not on the Cowboys?
Well, not Michael Parsons, but soon Jadeveon Clowney. So.
Oh, for $3 million. Get out of here. Who cares?
That's a big announcement.
Yeah, that's a nothing. I mean, that guy's been floating around forever. I think that you come out of this really concerned about the defense. Maybe you have, you know, it's funny about the Cowboys. The first half of their schedule is really easy. Then the second half is brutal. Mm. So they need to collect wins if they want to get to their customary wild card spot. And thank God they won last night. Because if they had not won yesterday, then it's pure chaos and panic and cats and dogs living together and everything awful. Right? I mean, they should have lost because Malik Nabers got behind them with 24 seconds left. You don't come back and tie that game in most normal situations. So we easily could be looking at a complete dumpster fire in Dallas.
I'm curious from the Cowboy fans, are you more encouraged because you actually won that game? All of a sudden you're in the game you're in. You're in overtime. No one can score. You come up with a big interception on Russell Wilson. He finally turns back into a bit of a pumpkin, and then you win the game. Or are you discouraged because of all the things that Perloff just laid out? And, you know, we had Cowboy fans, Pearl, who called after the Micah Parsons trade, and I said it. I thought that the Micah Parsons trade was going to be a shadow that hung over this team all year long. Now, listen, is it a shadow that hangs over a team after a win? No, you can feel better after Brian Schottenheimer's first win as a Dallas Cowboys head coach. But, like, the issues are laid so bare. And Micah Parsons is just one guy, and I get they lost a lot of games with him, and they'll lose games without him, but I mean, it's just so glaring what's wrong with this Cowboys team. Russell Wilson, 30 for 41, 450 yards, 3 touchdowns, and that pick in overtime. Took 3 sacks, but only got hit 6 times in the entire game.
Wow. Yeah, and Cam Scataboo ran over a few guys, too. Yeah, don't forget about the run defense being suspect as well. Can we say the flip side? Dak Prescott's pretty good.
Dak, they're going to need him to be. At the end in overtime after the interception, and he is driving, and all of a sudden there's just green grass in front of him. I was like, man, this looks familiar. But he, like that playoff game against San Francisco all those years ago. But he took off, Got 15 yards on the scramble. Giants defense breaks down. And again, Brandon Aubrey.
And Javonte Williams, a running back, looked great. I think the Giants defense was exhausted, and that helped Javonte Williams. He had that big broken run. I think the Cowboys offense is good. Defense is bad. This was a survival game, though. I mean, really, Brian Schottenheimer, if they had lost this game to probably it's going to be a pretty bad team, it would have been a Dallas apocalypse. I mean, it would have been really bad. That's why I can't feel discouraged about it now. I feel like Brian Schottenheimer just barely was like a cat hanging on with claws into this thing. Because also, there were a lot of defensive breakdowns. It wasn't just a lack of pass rush.
No, like, the secondary was
huge mistakes, like mental mistakes.
Yeah absolutely. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It's funny because week one against the Philadelphia Eagles, both teams, you said, scoring at will. This weird weather delay, you know, stops the game for an hour. Nobody scores after that, right? It was just a slog. And I thought there were a lot of Dallas people who were actually kind of ticked off that they had an opportunity on a silver platter. EJ was pointing it out. Just how do you lose that game when you've got the defending champs on the ropes like that? And they kind of let an opportunity slip away.
But their defense was having trouble with the Eagles. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Eagles could have gone up to 42, just like the Giants did.
I mean, but Eagles-Giants, not same.
Yeah.
I mean, this might be the top of the mountain and the bottom of the mountain as far as the entire NFL is concerned. So, you know, in a loss, there were some things there in week one that you felt like, I was like, man, I'm kind of encouraged by this. They hung with Philadelphia, blah, blah. But you had a chance to win it. You didn't. At least in this game, you find yourself in a dogfight against, like, vintage Russell Wilson, who's, you know, picking apart your secondary with those moon balls, and then you do find a way to actually win this game. Again, I just think this is going to be the roller coaster that we're going to ride with the Dallas Cowboys all year, which is they're going to play up certain times and they're going to play down certain times. And this was exactly the game yesterday. There's no reason why the Giants should have still been in that game three possessions into overtime.
Damn it. You're saying the game should have been over, the Giants should have won.
No, if you're talking about the talent on each team, the projections for each team, who is Dallas closer to? Are they closer to Philadelphia, who they played tight in week one, or are they closer to the Giants, who might be picking top five in the draft?
I don't know. I mean, I think the Giants are you were high on the Giants a little bit, not high, relatively high for what the Giants were. I mean, the Giants have some good players too. Listen, they have Malik Nabers. CeeDee Lamb was awesome, actually, coming off the drops last week.
Yep, he was.
And George Pickens is now a factor. He looked really good too. But I would say the Giants have a couple great players. Like Malik Nabers is great. And I would say Brian Burns typically is great. And I'm all about Cam Scataboo in the red zone. I mean, I don't think the Giants are that bad. But back to the Cowboys, you know, Dak has won 13 straight against this team against the Giants. Yeah. I have to look at the 13 games.
I think it's 14 now, is it? It was yesterday 14. 14.
Came in with 13, sorry. Yeah. And I don't think he ever had to work this hard to beat them. Like, this is a team they always win. They usually beat them like 40-7. If the question is, are you more encouraged or discouraged? I'm discouraged about how close this game is because the Cowboys usually win this game. Now, I think they have the Bears next week. They better win that game against a struggling Bears team, or then we go straight back to panic.
Yeah, we'll get into Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson. Yeah. Not a great homecoming for Ben Johnson, the former Lions offensive coordinator. That was tough. And the team showed no mercy on him whatsoever. But Dallas Cowboys win this game 40-37, Pearl. And I think it's going to have to be that kind of a season on offense. Like, they're going to have to be scoring maybe in the at least high 20s, more like 30s, if they're going to want to hang in these games because their defense is just not good enough.
Yeah, which is okay, maybe, if George Pickens, I think he took a step from week one to week two, he gets more comfortable. You can squint and see this being just an awesome offense. I just think that defense, just to let Malik Nabers score what looked like the game-winning touchdown with 24 seconds, all you had to do was protect the end zone, and they did not do it. So I'm just really worried about the, people are calling it the Eberflus. The Eber loss.
Yeah, that Eberflus, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I'm really worried about the defense.
You should be. 888-710-4ISN. Are you more encouraged or discouraged by what you saw from the Cowboys yesterday? An overtime win against the New York Giants, and it took Russell Wilson throwing a pick to kind of set Dallas, you know, give them a third bite at the apple in that overtime.
Where was he throwing the ball?
Well,
it's kind of an arm punt.
He can't see.
Why? Why is he arm punting in that situation?
He was going to punt. Like, for some reason, both offenses just, they were killing it. And then they disappeared in the overtime.
I think everyone was exhausted. I don't know.
Yeah, the defense is supposed to be exhausted. Then the offenses start to fly. And I thought the Cowboys lost about three times in overtime.
Yeah.
And
but
the Giants lost it five times in overtime.
Yeah, it was...
That must have been tough one. From the Giants' perspective, I mean, sorry, Manny.
You have no idea.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I was about to take an in-house victory lap though, because we had a discussion who wins first, the Giants or the Jets, and you guys all said, "Of course, it's the Jets." Okay, now it's neither an option.
That's like a mean poll, but we should put it up.
Hey, Giants have a get-right game next week.
Who they got?
Home against the Chiefs.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm sure that is a small spread because the Chiefs can't move the ball on anyone.
Yeah, we will talk about the Chiefs coming up because the Chiefs have issues. A lot more issues than they usually have, Pearl. They start the season 0-2, and it's another Kelce turnover, and Kelce in the red zone doing the wrong thing. That was the turning point of the game that happened in Brazil week one, and then yesterday against your Philadelphia Eagles, Kelce... Just with I don't know, still shocking when you see sort of bobbles kind of fell right into the hands of the defender for Philadelphia. That was a tough, weird game.
That was
Chiefs are weird to watch.
I would say the Eagles in that kind of game are hard to watch. That was not an entertaining game for America. I know Taylor Swift was there, so the ratings were probably high. But that was a lot of tush pushing, even for me, and I'm a fan of the play.
Yeah, I mean, just blast this play into the sun. We're done with it. Guys are false starting on every single time.
Refs just missed another one.
What's that?
Refs just missed another one.
It's just the false starts. Like, they don't know how to officiate it.
Super slow-mo false starts. Like, come on. Relax. You guys are not going to be able to officiate this play out of the game.
Well, they're trying to get it out no matter how, hook or by crook. The bigger problem for the Chiefs is you're still rushing four and you can't get to Jalen Hurts. He had all day back there.
Go to hell, Kansas City.
Well, yeah, but he didn't really.
He didn't do much with it, but he was.
Because they were like, that's what you do to Jalen Hurts. You cover everybody and you're in trouble. And everybody was super covered.
Yeah, I know, but he was like back there patting the ball.
Right,
because
they had
make a phone call.
They had like eight guys in coverage. Did you see like the? I mean, honestly, I don't mind KC's defense in that game at all. They the Eagles, AJ Brown could. I mean, he was glued. So the Chiefs defense, that's legit. We have no problem with that, do we?
Well, I don't know. I thought they could have. They didn't put any pressure on Jalen Hurts. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles will find a way to win that game because they're so good on short yardage in the red zone. But I'm talking about Justin Herbert also had all day. You know, that could end up being a big problem that could bite them down the road.
The Eagles had 216.
Down the road, right now.
The Eagles had 216 yards in the game, the defending champion.
Not much.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the defense was really good. I mean, you had Chris Jones saying, you know, you couldn't even throw for 100 yards.
He's
Jalen
right.
Hurts right before they did the final victory.
He's right.
Victory knee. And Jalen Hurts had the greatest comeback of all time. Being like, shut your ass up. We won the game.
So I watched that video, by the way, on social media. I couldn't hear them saying that to each other.
Oh, you gotta listen closely.
Wait. Yeah. Okay, so it's not me. I'm like,
yeah, no, I'd listen a couple of times.
Say I generated. None of that ever happened, Pearl.
Well, all of us
the
are
figment
deaf.
Of our imagination.
Yeah, like how did the radio industry?
How did the mic pick up that intimate conversation at the line of scrimmage? Anyway, the Eagles really couldn't do anything on offense except tush push, and then you can just sort of tush push your way down the field. Eventually, you'll get there. It takes a while.
Nothing quite like some rugby, huh?
And what's up with the NFL? The 4 o'clock window is the Eagles tush push against the Chiefs. You get this weird game with the Broncos and Colts, and then the Cardinals Saints. Why did they mix it up a little bit? They put so many games at 1 o'clock last night.
No, Cardinals and Panthers.
Cardinals and Panthers. Yeah. Whatever. Same.
That's why I didn't correct you, to be honest.
I think we had the nano box on the red zone yesterday. Is that nine sides? Nine games at one time.
A nano box?
The nano box, sure. No. Oh. Isn't nano small?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, 888,
710, 4. Well, all the pictures are small when you're getting up to eight or nine in that box. 888-710-4ISN. We'll get to all of it, but on these Mondays where we had so much happen in the NFL and in college football, we want to hear from you. 888-710-4ISN. You want to talk about your team. And if you are a Bronco fan today, you are just sick. Now, Indianapolis Colts, maybe you found something here with Indiana Jones, Daniel Jones. Possible.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, man, it's like the Giants season couldn't get any worse. Now Daniel Jones is going to be that veteran reclamation project.
18 days until the Knicks start. It's basketball season, y'all. You know,
Russell Wilson did just throw for 450 yards
yeah,
after
the
entire city of New York's bedroom.
The entire game away by throwing a moonball interception with 2 minutes left while you're trying to get into field goal range,
well,
trying to get any points.
The worst part, I thought, well, the worst part is the loss and the interception, no doubt, but why was Jackson Dart in the game in the fourth quarter doing this weird Brian Daboll teasing everybody? What was that? What is going on over there? He put Jackson Dart in. I was like, Brian Daboll's trying to get the Alabama job. I really thought there was a time I'm like, is he throwing this game?
I think Shane Bowen's trying to get the Alabama job for throwing that game.
I didn't understand that at all. Start him or don't start him? You're going to throw a rookie Pearl into a fourth quarter in Dallas in a one-score game?
How many plays was it?
Five. Was it five? Three or five?
He ran two plays.
I thought it was more. I thought he ran three.
I saw about two plays, and one of them was a slip up in the fourth quarter. Which I mean,
he tripped.
It didn't amount to anything. Though,
why was
Max?
He in the game?
He's
in
to run. Right? In training camp, he said when they did this against the Jets, he said that he wants Jackson to be ready because he could be thrown in at any moment. Now throw him in the fourth quarter of a game where you're trying to win seemed a little odd, but he did say that when they did. He did this against the Jets when he randomly threw him in a drive where Russell was still playing.
First play worked.
Time and place, man.
First play worked.
Kind of like a Wildcat, right? Like, he's supposed to go in there and be a battering ram.
They essentially had him running basically as a running quarterback.
Yeah,
they basically were running a wishbone offense with him there.
Listen, I as an Eagles fan, in the late 80s, they had Randall Cunningham would come in and just run. He would come in for Ron Jaworski, and he was just a running quarterback. I think that's what they want with Jackson. He looked great running in preseason. But I feel like it's bad for Giants fans because I think Russell earned a bunch of more weeks.
Oh, he just stiff-armed Jackson Dart for at least another week. All right, we got all over the road there. We started this off with the Cowboys. Are you more encouraged or discouraged by what you saw against the Giants? It's a 40-37 overtime win and deep into overtime. I mean, as time's expiring in overtime, I saw a stat, Brandon Aubrey, the only kicker in history to hit a game-tying field goal as regulation expires, and then the game-winning field goal in overtime as time expires.
Yeah, didn't Jerry Jones, after the game, say Brandon Aubrey's our best player?
He might be.
But that's kind of weird. Well, you do have CeeDee Lamb.
Special teams, baby.
What a weapon that dude is. 888-710-4ISN. Got the poll question up there for you. How about two, EJ, so far? Encouraged or discouraged by what you saw by the Cowboys? And what was your question about the New York teams?
Who's going to win first?
Did we do that last week? We did it last week. And you guys were all adamant about it. I was the only one in the room who said the Giants might get a win.
We didn't put a poll up, but
yeah.
We did.
Because the Jets' schedule is brutal for a little bit.
Right now it's 50-50 with only four votes.
All right. Well, go to Maggie Pearl. Still early. Lots to get to. We will not ignore college today as well, as you had some huge, huge games over the weekend. Maggie Perloff Show. It's a Monday, so let's go. Pearl Prize Picks. Good to me over the weekend.
Nice.
I hate to brag, but I love Prize Picks. It's the obsession around this show because it's everything we want, which is being able to pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projections, and if you're right, you win money. That's it. It's like no bells and whistles, but just enough bells and whistles to keep you entertained. We love Prize Picks around here. The app is super fan friendly. And if you are somebody who's sports psychotic like us and you want to be betting on the NFL and college football along with WNBA and baseball and really put your knowledge to the test, Prize Picks is where to go.
Yeah, I mean, as a baseball fan, I think you guys who are Mets fans would really like Prize Picks because it gives you a reason to watch other than your own team. All transactions on the app are fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right and not to be a Mets fan. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP and get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Now,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm very special, man, for you. First game ball, first win. Hell of a coach. Yeah. And this son of a gun, man, this field goal kicker, I tell you.
Hey, 51-yard field goal.
Yeah.
44-yard field goal.
Yeah.
64-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Wait. In overtime, with the walk-off, 46 yards!
Yeah!
You're listening to Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Here's the thing about football and sports. That speech could have been way different if the Cowboys easily could have lost that game. And then what is Shoddy doing? I don't know about that celebration. I saw a lot of that last night, the highlights of the Cowboys locker room, acting like they had just done something, and they have not done anything yet to me.
No, I mean, you were just in a dogfight with, yes, a division rival, so that's, yeah, you know, that should be taken into account.
Hardly a rival, a team that Dak has beaten 13 times in a row.
That's mean. That was unnecessary.
Make it 14. And, you know, a team, it's just funny because Dallas just not, you know, 10 days ago hung with one of the best teams in the league, Philadelphia. Now they're playing down to maybe one of the worst teams in the league in the New York Giants. It's an odd place to be. We're asking you today, are you more encouraged by Dallas pulling out that win in overtime or discouraged considering it took overtime? Andreas is in Chicago. Good morning, Andreas. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I didn't watch the game yesterday. I was out working, but I was following the highlights on the ESPN app, and it's, I don't know what the heck to believe. Game week one, you play Eagles tight. Week two, even though they didn't have De'Ron Bland, it just seemed like it made Russell Wilson like an MVP candidate, like yesterday. And week three, Chicago, then we have week four, Green Bay. I don't know where to stay on the Cowboys. Dak has to play off his mind. Like the year before he got injured with an ankle injury, he had to play his tail up every game to win. The defense was suspect. And if you're going to talk about the college football later, I'm worried about my Longhorns. Arch Band is not looking good right now in the three games.
Andreas, I'm glad you brought up Arch Manning and the Longhorns. We were going to get to that this hour while we know we're on in Texas. Booed by the home crowd, bro. Yeah. Arch Manning, they did not beat UTEP by nearly enough, and he did not look very good, especially to begin that game.
Arch is coming out.
All over the map, including missing 10 in a row at one point, which included an interception.
Well, let's be fair, though. They were going against former five-star quarterback Malachi Nelson on the UTEP Miners, I can't believe that guy was a five-star. He's worse than Arch. Yeah, Arch looks terrible. There's no doubt about it. But the Longhorns won the game. The Longhorns have a lot of talent around Arch. So even if he could just sort of get his screen pass game, I accidentally went kind of viral with an Arch clip. I did not mean to at all because I'm trying to support Arch, but I, for some reason, put out on X a little. He threw a screen pass maybe 16 feet over a guy's head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is funny. The guy tripped, clearly. Anyway, then, whoa, it just went. Because nobody watched that game. I understood. Like, everyone's like, people were desperate for Arch content. Because how would you, in the middle of a thrilling Saturday, why are you going to turn to the UTEP game?
Well, because Arch is like the second coming.
Yeah, but I think it was on SEC Network. It was kind of buried.
Well, and Clemson was losing like at the same time, so it was a little
No, I don't think that was seen by anybody. And also, the game felt like a high school game, right? Like the whole environment, the pace of the game, it was a totally garbage game from get go. And that's the thing. Like the Longhorns might have to win a lot of games that way.
They were the number one team in the country. Now, preseason polls obviously are not worth a whole hell of a lot, but oh my goodness. That's rough. Also, I'm kind of surprised that the fan base, I'm not saying they're turning on Arch, but the booing when you're ahead. I understand if you're behind, but they still were leading in the game at halftime, and they got booed.
We'll see. They have to establish a run game. Otherwise, like, what are we doing here? Like, Sark's known as having a wide open pass game, but he's dominant in the run game, and this is not there at all yet.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to Jason, who's in Washington, D.C., talking about the Cowboys, more encouraged by the fact they won or discouraged because it was not pretty. What's up, Jason?
Hey, good morning, Maggie. How are you this morning? I feel like a regular now on the show. You guys should go ahead and just give me a morning spot now, and we can talk about the Cowboys from D.C. very discouraged.
Yeah.
Very discouraged. Let me first start off by saying I love Kenny Clark. I thought Kenny Clark from Green Bay, even from when I saw him in Green Bay and what I thought we were getting, he made a play yesterday. I was very encouraged about that. But I saw plays where he was getting blown up. I saw plays where Oso was getting blown up. I have no idea who's on the Giants' offensive line. Scatterbro looked like the second coming of Tom Rathman. I mean, he was running through this defense like it was butter, like soft butter. it's discouraging because when Osa and Clark are in the game, I still feel like Osa's too small. Move Osa to the outside. Solomon Thomas, I thought, played one of the most spectacular games yesterday. He was all over the place. So move Clark and Solomon Thomas next to each other. Move Osa outside. Put Sam Williams on the other side of Clark. And I think you have a little bit more physical defensive line. This secondary is horrible.
Yeah.
Please, if they don't cut Elam today and if they don't cut Hooker today, something's wrong. These guys can't cover. They have no instincts. It almost looks like when the ball is in the air, guys are just looking like, where's the ball?
Yeah.
Like,
I got to be honest, Jason. I saw that Kyer Elam was a former first-round pick of the Bills. When I saw him getting burned yesterday, I was like, yep.
Oh, my God.
But, Jason, you just fixed it. I mean, thank you for the phone call. You get it. How come Eberflus doesn't get it? You know, shifting around the defensive line the way they did. And, by the way, I mean, Jason should trademark that. Scatterbro?
Yeah, Cam Scatterbro.
How did we not think of that?
That's definitely his new name.
Oh, I love that.
You know what would really, I think Jason had some great points. What would be great is if you had a menacing pass rusher, too, if you could add to that list. Maybe undersized against a run. But you know what's so funny?
Where would they ever find one of those?
Situation that Jason described, Jerry threw millions of dollars at. Like, they have the highest paid secondary in the NFL. They paid the interior of their defensive line. They paid that guy Osa $20 million a year. Like, what's going on? Like, these guys are all, I love Sam Williams, by the way. He's psychotic in a good way as a defensive player. But, like, what's going on? Jerry's throwing all this money. Since he let Micah Parsons go, everyone's gotten more money. You notice that? Who they signed this weekend? There was another big. Oh, Tyler Smith.
Yeah, on the offensive
line. So he's spending money like crazy. He's out of his mind. And then he said over the next couple of years, I'm going to be back to the riverboat gambler and start spending a lot of money. Why did you spend the money? As you keep saying, I'm taking this from you. Why did you spend the money on Micah?
Get a bro.
It's just one of the world's great mysteries. I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got all the latest headlines. Hang on the phones with us, guys. We want to hear from you on this crazy Monday. What do you got for us, folks?
Guys, I got headlines sponsored by Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME, and get a $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
All the way in.
Joe Burrow now in line for his third Comeback Player of the Year award.
Burrow catches a shotgun snap, pump fakes, and Joe will be sacked at the 35-yard line. Eric Armstead pulling him down by the feet.
Four Jaguars are around him. I mean, all four of the Jaguars are within an arm's length of Joe Burrow.
And Burrow's limping.
Yeah, you can't have that.
Limping badly.
I mean, it's you just can't You can't do that and give your quarterback.
Joe takes his helmet off and sits down on the turf.
Yeah, not good. A first half sack leading to a reported grade 3 turf toe injury, the left big toe to be specific. Burrow and the Bengals seeking other opinions with surgery possible. That could mean a 3-month absence longer.
Yeah.
Yesterday, at least, Jake Browning came to the rescue.
You think you're going to be sitting on the sideline, then you get thrown in, and that can kind of create like an emotional jump and try to ride that wave and just operate.
The veteran backup did throw 3 picks, but went 9 for 12, 65 yards on the game-winning drive, which ended with a 1-yard TD plunge from him. The Bengals stealing a 31-27 win from the Jaguars to reach 2-0 for the first time since 2018.
What the f*** are we doing, man?
Can I add a potential rule change on the award front?
Sure, go ahead.
I don't think you should be able to win Comeback Player of the Year twice. I know, or 3 times with Joe Burrow. Like, I think once you get, they were going to call it the Chad Pennington and Memorial Comeback Player of the Year Award. Yeah. Like, I think once you get one, I don't think you should be able to get a second. It's Pennington and Burrow are the two that have done it.
It's like Rookie of the Year, just one and done.
Yeah, I just think once you come back, like, you've showed the ability to come back. Like, if they can't give it to him a third, you're absolutely right, Bogues. Like, he'll probably win it a third time next year.
I have a question about grade 3 turf toe.
Sure.
Yeah. Is grade 3 the worst or is grade 1 the worst?
No, well, I don't know if grade 3 is the worst, but grade 3 is worse than grade 2, which is worse than grade 1.
But
does it go past 3?
That I can't answer.
That's when your toe's just amputated?
Maybe.
Oh,
that's
boy.
A Dr. Rock question, but grade 3 is not good.
Okay, so it gets worse as the numbers go higher.
Yes.
And they'll decide today, right, if there's going to be surgery or not.
That's what I saw.
I sure hope so. I need to pick up a quarterback from a fantasy team.
Definitely.
It's times like these, Manny, where you have to think of your fantasy team. It's just the thing about Burrow and him getting hurt again just reinforces last year what a waste that was. You had this amazing Burrow season where he's an MVP candidate and you missed the playoffs completely because your defense stinks.
Well, I'm not sure things are that different now. Their defense is hardly great. And I think Shamar Stewart got hurt at the end of that game, too.
Yeah.
On the bright side, it wasn't an Achilles. Anyone? And there was some whispers. Is he holding his calf?
He's out for 3 months. What's the difference? He's going to miss the season.
6 months? That's the difference?
I don't know. In today's NFL, when it's not an Achilles, it's like, well, all right. I can live with this.
And turf toe has definitely become the injury in vogue in the NFL this season.
Yeah, which, by the way, not easy to play on turf toe, guys. Like, it's painful. Look, Brock Purdy's going to be out for a long time, and Burrow might need surgery.
I keep telling people, Deion Sanders, all these issues he's had with his legs and feet, it all started with a terrible turf toe injury towards the end of his career.
Okay.
He's got toes amputated.
Right, and as we've said a lot, it needs a better name. Turf toe doesn't sound bad, but it's a terrible injury.
Can we get into this? A lot of people out there are like, whoa, this offense looks a lot smoother when Jake Browning is running it. Like, Joe Burrow has been a mess this year. Did anyone notice that? Like, every time he goes back, it feels like he invites pass rush. Where Browning was like, I know he threw some picks, but he was kind of humming a little bit.
People were saying that? Where were the people saying that?
A lot of people said that. It was like, whoa, what? Because Burrow, something was wrong with Burrow. Burrow is always bad at the beginning of the year, but I feel like it kind of looked good with Browning. Like, he has a clear chemistry with both receivers.
Yeah, they're both awesome. And also, the Jags played into this a little bit.
I think Browning's
a good tango.
I think he's a good backup. I mean, let's see. He ended up 21 for 32, 240 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. We're going to look past that. But, I mean, Burrow was awful in week 1.
He was.
He was just, the offense looked like it was stuck in mud. But somehow they're 2-0. I think they stay afloat. If you could cut this down to 2 months, Maggie, I'd feel okay.
Who's cutting it down?
Well, because I've doctor, is it Chow? I always forget his name.
Yeah.
He said 3 months, if it's surgery for turf toe, is very optimistic. He would say that's season ending.
Mm. Well, what if it was not surgery, though?
That's a whole different thing. But his tweet was if he has surgery, he's out for the season.
Okay.
Probably not the right time to bring this up, but is he still in the Josh Allen, Lamar Allen,
or
Lamar Jackson conversation? Is he up there with the top 3 quarterbacks?
Well, he was not just tier 1. He was 1A, remember?
Yeah, and I didn't agree.
This side of the glass was fading.
Yeah, you did.
Burrow on the boys.
Mm. So the Bengals, they are 2-0, though. The Vikings are not. No second straight fourth quarter rally from J.J. McCarthy.
McCarthy steps up, going deep down the field into a crowd, and it is intercepted, picked off by the Falcons. Xavier Watts, the third rounder out of Notre Dame, has his first NFL pick, and that'll do it.
The Falcons take over with 2:35 to go and a 22-6 lead.
Ryan Radke on Westwood One, second pick, third turnover from McCarthy, a 22-6 home loss to the Falcons on Sunday Night Football. Kevin O'Connell's offense only crossed midfield three times.
We've got to clean up our operation and clean up our procedure as well as our execution, and that's going to be a theme that we will continue to focus on. I thought our fans were phenomenal, which obviously makes it sting even more.
The Falcons, meanwhile, got 143 rushing yards from Bijan Robinson, 5 field goals from their brand-new kicker, Parker Romo.
Anybody else fall asleep during that game?
Well, it was like beginning of the fourth quarter. I'm still awake for some God knows reason. And I'm like, all right, here comes the J.J. McCarthy comeback. And it was like, first play, sack fumble. Falcons take over. Eyes I was like, closed. I think I watched the rest of this in the morning. Yeah.
Two more games still to go here in week two. The Bucs in Houston at 7 Eastern. The Chargers in Vegas at 10. UCLA fired football coach Deshaun Foster yesterday amid an 0-3 start, 5-10 over a season plus. The Bruins just paid New Mexico $1.2 million to come to L.A. and win 35-10.
We're in L.A.
Saturday.
It's us and USC.
God, somebody that was obviously being shared a lot yesterday, and I forgot how painful that was.
We're in L.A.
That is like one of my that's like one of my top five favorite coaching things ever.
It's us and USC.
I mean, it's 30 seconds. It starts with that, and then he doesn't know what to do. It's like he like his brain freezes, and then he just kind of grunts and laughs and goes, "I'll take your questions."
But
it's
to be
awful.
Fair, spot the lie. As I said at the time, geographically, I mean, America's youth is terrible geography. At least he was right.
I guess we'll give him that.
He wasn't the only coach fired yesterday.
He
two
was
college
not.
Coaches yes. fired yesterday. Pearl, you said it was too early in the season making coaching changes.
But sorry, I hadn't been studying the Virginia Tech coaching situation. I guess it wasn't good.
You can't lose to ODU at home. You guys know that.
I don't know what UCLA, like UCLA doesn't feel like it was Deshaun Watson's fault. It feels like this program
Deshaun Foster.
Yeah.
We can blame a lot of things on Deshaun Watson. But this is basically the only one
give
we
me
can.
An hour.
Like, is UCLA going to hire a better guy? Like, they don't seem to have a
I was just thinking, not so much about UCLA, no disrespect, but I'm like, all right, so where is Nico Iamaleava going to transfer to after the season to like kickstart, restart his quarterback / NFL like trajectory?
I mean, I hate to do this to him, but he feels like the new DJU. I think wherever he goes, bad things are going to follow.
So you don't think he can do a reclamation project?
I was not that. They won a lot of games in Tennessee, but they were like a running team last year. And then, I mean, this year, I know UCLA is basically a FCS team, but they're getting boat raced by Mountain West teams. And like, this is bad.
He could be closer to Malachi Nelson, who we just talked about, than even DJU. At least DJU had a couple moments.
USC.
The Red Sox avoided a 3-game sweep from the Yankees at Fenway, 6-4 on Sunday Night Baseball. New York is now 4 games behind the Blue Jays for first in the AL East, Boston a game and a half farther back, and the Las Vegas Aces started the postseason with their 17th win in a row, 102-77 over the Storm to open that best of 3. Asia Wilson, 29 points and 8 rebounds.
We're in L.A.
Back. They were actually in Vegas, but back to you anyway.
Was that the opening remarks from
Big Ten Media Day
yes. 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So it's like basically opening remarks, just sell us on your team. You get the floor, sell us on your team, which college coaches have mastered for years. And he's just like, well, UCLA.
He actually said, you might not know a lot about us, the college football writers. I think we're aware of UCLA and USC, even at Northwestern.
Playing those Deshaun Foster clips gave me a reason to play this Mike McDaniel one.
I think... To be honest, like there's, I think the positive is that, that was a miserable experience.
Yeah. One last night, by the way, did you see him after the game yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, there's plenty. Yeah.
Yeah. About how he'd rather win than lose, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What a concept.
He's just at this point, he's playing out the string. He's like, what can I say here to entertain myself?
I thought Mike McDaniel was going to get fired at halftime yesterday, the way that Miami started that game.
Yeah, he did the whole
another day closer to death.
This is all my fault thing, as if it's like, please fire me. Like, I'm the one to blame for this. Get me out of here.
Well, Tua, I've never seen a quarterback and wide receiver openly go after each other as many times as Tua and Tyreek Hill. Like, they should just fight or something.
That was a miserable experience.
That pass in the fourth quarter where he missed Tyreek by 50 yards when he was wide open. I think Tyreek came out of the game because he didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah,
like, he stomped out and he went and he like gave like the like cut, you know, cut me out of here move. I think he was like almost protesting being out there.
Now everybody's quiet quitting on the Dolphins. First, it was just Mike McDaniel, but now Tyreek's quiet quitting. Tua well, next week will probably quiet quit.
Tua said, like, dude, I can't throw the ball 80 yards. Come back to it. Like, watch the ball.
He threw that ball to, like, I don't think, you know, Andre the Giant could have caught that pass. he could not have thrown a more sailed pass over Tyreek's head.
Also, that interception.
Oh, my God.
That was like, it was, he could have just went to the safety and just put it in his hands.
Was that, though? That was a fourth down, though.
So?
Because I'd rather he do that than get sacked on fourth down, which he did the next series.
Right.
Yeah, you got it. If,
well, he gave you both.
That's my biggest problem. Well, at least you gain more yards
fair
on the interception.
Yeah.
Like, because you get sacked, you lose. Like, you got to chuck the ball.
It was a 10-yard throw, that interception. That was not one of the big ones, was it?
Well, it was fourth down. I mean, the ball was going to the other team. Like, you got to chuck it. You cannot get sacked in the key moment of the game. Like, Milton Williams sacked him to end the game. Just throw the ball in the air, dude. Like, anyway. That team stinks.
And we get them on Thursday night, which is going to be a treat. 888-710-4ISN. Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, 54 to nothing.
Oh, my gosh. The Bills, man. They play like a college schedule.
This is we have to break, but this is like Peyton Manning's Colts in the early 2000s. They're going to be gifted 15-2, and then they'll be in the playoffs. Like, wait, who are these teams we're playing? Why are they like those scrubs we've been beating all year?
888-710-4ISN. How about anyone? No? Josh Allen playing through a broken nose? Toughest guy in the NFL. Make me
wanna. I don't know.
Today's not about the Bills.
QB controversy. Trubisky looked good for those three plays.
He should have to play left-handed when he plays the Jets and Dolphins.
Tom Brady didn't have to do it all those years, and Josh isn't doing it. Okay, today's about you. We will get to you. If you want to talk about your team, both college and pro, give us a call. 888-710-4ISN. Coming up, we mentioned Arch Manning booed at home by the Texas faithful. Did they have a right to do that? MVP.
Arc Man.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to Maggie and Perloff Show. Ask you today, starting off the show with the Dallas Cowboys. Are you more encouraged? Because, Perl, they did win the game yesterday against a division opponent. Final score was 40-37, took all of overtime. Are you encouraged because they get out there with a W, or discouraged because we don't expect the Giants to win a ton of games this year, and you needed every second and every bit of Brandon Aubrey's leg, where Brian Schottenheimer basically settles for a 64-yard field goal at the end of regulation, calling a draw play on third. Was that second down? It was crazy that he did that, but Aubrey is so dynamic that he was able to cruise. I mean, that would have been good from 70, Pearl, and then he hit the game winner in OT from 46, which chip shot for him.
I'm seeing the Cowboys open as dogs at Chicago. Chicago probably should have won week one, but they have not looked great either. So that's a must win for the Cowboys, because the schedule gets a lot harder after that. That's a big game. I know, for both teams. Yeah. That's like a consensus, like, where are we kind of game next week.
And Chicago's coming off of just getting their butts handed to them by Detroit yesterday. Big bounce back spot for Detroit, who looked pretty bad against the Packers in week one. And the score wasn't so crazy, but never really feel like they could get control of that game. And then they obviously put a thumping on Chicago in the second half yesterday. We'll get to Arch Manning getting booed by the Texas faithful. Are you out on Arch? 888-710-4ISN. Chris is in Birmingham, Alabama. Chris, good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, when it comes to my cousin's hat and my most of my New Orleans Saints, just what's that song by Three Days Grace Payne? But Kenneth Dodd I'm fine with. But, and also, Maggie, though, really, when you already make the side comment of buying new ball, trying to participate for the getting the boys in. Like,
I say that like, in jest. Listen, I know that Alabama beat Wisconsin badly this weekend. They look good. But
it ain't the same, though. It's like,
sorry.
Over exaggeration of Bama in college football modern day time of parody is just deafening, for Christ's sake. Give the man time. He has to at least establish what his team standard is. We can really give ultimatums about a team because you still have the whole coverage for you. You still got like 10 games ahead of you, which if you go on a 10 game win streak, I don't want to hear anybody saying that they're the best team of all after pretty much dragging them out to one game. But when it comes to the New Orleans Saints, though, and I'm looking at you, Perloff, your little side comment about it almost comparing them to the Panthers, it's like, oh, well, whatever they lost. Come on now.
That's a fair comparison. That one.
No.
Who's better?
They almost won for the past 2 weeks. They almost could win the games. They just don't execute.
Yeah.
Well,
because it's a waste.
Chris, that's a problem. Chris, sorry. Thank you for the call. So a couple of things. If Alabama does rattle off 10 in a row, no one's going to be saying anything. They're going to say Alabama's back. They're going to be all in on Alabama. That's never going to be a problem. Alabama winning, you're never going to be lacking for people who are going to jump back on the bandwagon.
Well, yeah, but it's going to be hard to win 10 in a row.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be very hard.
I think their next game is at Georgia, right? So if they win that one, then the conversation definitely changes. But that's a hard game.
And listen, I like that Chris is giving Kalen DeBoer time, but I don't know if Chris is necessarily indicative of the whole fan base. JT's in Atlanta. JT, were you surprised that Arch Manning and the Texas offense got booed at home?
No, not the way that he's been. Yeah, no, not the way that he's been playing all season. I don't know. I never saw him in high school, but all I heard before he got here, you know, everybody's trying to lose so they can get Arch. And now that I've actually witnessed him as a football player, and I'm like, for what? For who? And really, on a bigger point, you guys, I think that the Manning clan might be the most overrated name in football if you just think about it, right? Because Peyton was – he got two Super Bowls, but we all kind of think of him as a successful regular season quarterback. He often failed in crunch time and in big moments in the playoffs. Eli – is a barely 500 quarterback. He had more losing seasons than winning seasons. As an Eagles fan, I watched him. He's always had dominant receivers, running game, defense, and all he was able to do was ride that to two Super Bowls. Now, granted, he did that, but if we are being honest, those defenses won those Super Bowls just as much, if not more, than Eli Manning did, whatever he did.
Sorry, we're up against it here at the top of the hour. I mean, point made, although Eli may have two of the more famous throws in Super Bowl history, David Tyree and Mario Manningham.
I mean, I felt that was a little too far. Peyton was pretty good, as I recall.
Five MVPs. Arch Manning, though, against UTEP, where they only won 27-10, only 44% completion percentage. Not good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.